All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories are glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. So since this is called the Hare Krishna movement, obviously it has something to do with Krishna, right? Yeah. For the duration of the class, please don't pass behind the Vyasa-san. That's why I pushed it back so nobody will walk in front of the screen, okay? We should keep the screen clear. So, there are many scholars who still debate whether there really was such a person as Krishna. And when it became overwhelmingly evident that there really was such a person that lived in India more than 5,000 years ago, then they think, well, but the things that they say that he did can't really be factual. It's all mythology. How can a man, because they think he's a regular person, lift a hill and hold it for 7 days on the pinky finger of his left hand? That's not possible. That must just be some story, tale like that. So everything that Krishna did, they write off as just mythology. You know, if you read the Vedas, if you know anything about linguistics, language, the precision and the beauty of the composition of the Vedas, obviously was not written by ordinary people. So extraordinarily intelligent people somehow or other sat around and just dreamt up these things that they wrote down and that are still consistent to today. In other words, they say that Krishna was 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is still there. There was a battle of Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is still there. So yet everything that happened they think is mythology. However, when it comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they cannot claim mythology. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you look in any scholarly publications, I looked yesterday just for the sake of, you know, bringing myself up to speed as what they're thinking. Encyclopedia Britannica, very respectable repository of knowledge. So they say, yes, there was a saint named Chaitanya who appeared in India. They say 1485. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita 1486, but who's going to fight over a year? Okay. But they agree that there was a personality named Chaitanya who founded this bhakti movement. And in general, the scholars, they attribute so many wonderful qualities to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if you accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being a saint, as being a scholarly person, his whole life was centered around worshiping Krishna. So if you say that Krishna is mythological, why would you accept somebody who is worshiping a myth? You see the point? It would be like me saying somebody brought Albert Einstein to, let's say he was still around, introduced him to me. This is Einstein. This guy's a genius in math and physics. But you know, he believes in the tooth fairy and Santa Claus, but don't hold that against him. You know, he's still very brilliant. Maybe a little bit confused, but you know, it'd be like that. Would you? As soon as you hear somebody believes in a tooth fairy and Santa Claus, it's like, okay. You know, so it's like that. On the one hand, and I'm not just talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are so many personalities, great acharyas from India that are respected by scholars who have studied their work, but their entire lives are centered around worshiping Krishna. So if you don't accept that Krishna is factual, if you think Krishna is mythological, then why are you glorifying this person as being saintly or scholarly or whatever? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. Again, it's like if you brought some modern scholar to introduce to somebody and you tell them, but they believe in Santa Claus, but don't worry about that. You know, they're still very smart. Doesn't work. So we're not so foolish. Actually, we're very fortunate. Because the only way you can rise above, see beyond these misconceptions is if you are fortunate enough to hear the truth from somebody who has seen the truth, who knows the truth, and that is our good fortune. We're hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Srila Prabhupada, not just from some ordinary scholar who is confused at best and dismissal at worst. You see? So the source of your information is extremely important to determine how much real you're going to have of the subject matter. So today's subject matter is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I should have brought my PC because the Mac is always a little problematic in connecting to the Samsung. It's a battle, you know. Samsung and Apple don't get along, so their products don't talk to each other very well. But let's see. Okay. Oops. That's the wrong one. Where am I? I think I went into the wrong folder. No. 1 second. Christian was telling me, PC, but I said, no, Mac. Okay. I think you all must be very, very nice people. That's why Krishna's making this work. Let's keep our fingers crossed. All right, so we're going to talk about Gaura Purnima, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So the Vaishnavas know that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Naya Anya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Krishna and Radha are one, but they've eternally separated for pastimes. You don't have pastimes if you have one. You see? If you are alone, nobody else on this planet, not even an animal that you can rub, you know, just by yourself, then there's no question of pastime. You know, you're going to be kicking rocks and rolling leaves, and you're not going to have any fun. So for pastimes, there has to be interaction. There has to be more than one. So although Krishna is one, the Supreme Lord is one, he separates himself eternally for pastime. So that's Radha Krishna in the middle. Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Radha combined. He's the Supreme Lord in the mood of Radharani, Ladini Shakti. So, again, a little more than 5,000 years ago, Krishna came to this planet. He comes once in a day of Lord Brahma. These terms and figures you can find in the books, Prabhupada's books, so I won't go into too much detail here because we want to leave time to speak about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. But Lord Brahma's day lasts for 1,000 Divya Yugas, rotations of the four ages, the Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. The Satya Yuga is 1.8 million years, the Treta Yuga 1.2 million, the Dwapara 800,000 approximately, a little more than that, 864,000. And the Kali Yuga that we're in right now is 320,000 years, out of which we've passed just a couple of thousand years. So it adds up to about once every 6,411,000,000 years that Krishna comes to the planet. And when he comes, he usually comes at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, and the very next Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya appears. So Lord Chaitanya also comes once only in the day of Brahma. Brahma's day is followed by Brahma's night. So we're very, very fortunate that we're here on this planet in the same Kali Yuga in which Lord Chaitanya appeared. Because why does he come? Advaita Acharya, who's also on the level of Vishnu Tattva, he actually appeared before Lord Chaitanya, and he noticed that the people in the world were, to put it in one word, bad. They were off. Even those that appeared to be religious, they had lost sight of the goal of religion, the goal of spirituality, which we can see is very much the case nowadays. I mean, you don't have to, even if you don't read or hear the news for some time, almost every time you look at the news, there's some great religious figure or spiritual leader who fell down, ran off with his secretary or stole money or something. So even the leaders of the religious traditions, what to speak of, totally misleading people to kill themselves in the name of religion when they're not really offering the goal, the benefit of religion. So Advaita Acharya, again, who's Vishnu Tattva, he noticed this, and he prayed fervently for the Lord to appear. As you see, it's stated there, it's just taken from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it was his conviction that only Krishna himself could set the situation aright. So he worshipped the Lord fervently, and the Lord agreed and came as Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya appeared with his associates, Nityananda Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, and other devotees, to preach the special significance of chanting Hare Krishna. We are known as the Hare Krishna movement because we chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Not whimsically, we didn't make it up. It's been handed down again in this succession. And Lord Chaitanya, who is God himself, came. One of his missions was to preach the special significance of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So, when the Lord comes in the world, and this is what confuses people, he could just like pop out of the sky with a loud explosion, and you know, nobody could overlook that. But he generally tends to appear in the world just like we do. In other words, he selects someone to be his mother, someone to be his father. Except that in our case, it's by karma. We didn't necessarily sit down and pick this particular person to be mother or father. But by our karma, by our activities and the reactions that were due to because of those activities in our previous life or lives, a particular father and mother were chosen for us, and then we, through their agency, came into this world again. Not that mother and father create the child. This is a misconception. That just by the sexual union, some or other, the child is magically created. No. That soul was always existing. Eternally existing. But by karma, has been placed into this particular womb so that they will face a particular set of opportunities and, let's say, pains and pleasures in this particular life. Every one of us is in that situation. We've been given a particular mother and father so we could have a particular set of opportunities. If the child is not going to be quiet, maybe you can take him upstairs or somewhere else. Thanks. So, but that's not the case when the Lord comes. The Lord does not come forced by karma. Krishna states that in the Bhagavad Gita. Ajopi sanavya atma bhutanam ishvaropisam. Prakritin samadishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. By his own desire, potency, he appears in this world in his original form. These forms that we are looking at, each other, we all have a material body. We know the pains and pleasures of that particular body. And by extension, we can understand what other people are going through. You know, if I've had the measles, somebody comes down with the measles, I know more or less what they're going through. It could be a little more severe, a little less, but more or less we understand. If I'm hungry, if I experience hunger, then when you tell me that you're hungry, I get an idea of what it's all about. I'm not experiencing exactly the same thing because the body's not exactly alike, but we have an idea. You see? But when Krishna comes in his original spiritual form, but does not have any material inhibitions. You see, there is no hunger, no pain, no measles, no mumps. We don't read that Krishna ever went to a pediatrician. We don't read that Krishna or Lord Chaitanya ever went to a dentist. You see, nowadays there are so many fake gods, everybody wants to be God, but then they have to make a dental appointment. What kind of God are you? that you can't fix your own cavities. Why are you getting a cavity in the first place? You see? So such gods we overlook. We disregard. So Lord Chaitanya, when he came, he did, as most of the avatars do, he had a mother and father. So this is his interaction with Sachibata. And the Lord is always teaching. Everything he does has many, many ramifications. Every single activity of the Lord produces many, many different results. All wonderful. So in this case, his mother had given him a nice plate of sweetmeats to eat. But to prove a point, to make a point, he started eating the dirt instead of eating the sweets that his mother gave him. So Sachibata came out and said, "Nimai, why are you eating dirt?" And so Nimai said, "Just a baby, but he's still God. God is always God." That's another thing. If somebody says they can show you how to become God, there's something wrong with that picture. God never has to become God. God is always God. You know, you don't have to take a course or, you know, seminar, how to be God. God is always God. So he's God, even though he's playing as a child. So he said, "These sweets that you've given me, they're nothing but transformation of earth anyway. So what is the difference if I eat the earth directly?" You see? Being very philosophical. But Mother Sachi is more philosophical. She said, "Yes, Nimai, you're right. But the earth in its different transformations has different purposes." For instance, she gave him the example, you can take the earth and shape it into the form of a pot, and then you can use that pot for carrying water. You see, it's a transformation of earth, but now it has a specific purpose. If you just throw water on the ground, you can't carry the water. You want to carry water, you have to make a vessel. To make a vessel, you take earth and you mix it with a little water and you dry it in the sun, and now it becomes an earthen pot. And in that earthen pot, you can carry water. You see, it's the same earth, but it's now been transformed for a particular purpose. So similarly, she said, the sweets, although they originally come from the earth, it's a particular transformation of the earth that you can eat and enjoy. You see? So she defeated Nimai. Mother knows best. So, we're obviously cutting out a lot. We're just going to jump to specific things that we wanted to highlight tonight. All this week we've been hearing the pastimes of the Lord and the philosophy behind his appearance. So now we're just going to touch on particular pastimes. So, as Nimai grew up, he became or exhibited his unlimited knowledge. He became known as Nimai Pandit. And he would terrorize everyone. All the Vaishnavas, all the seniors, elders, they were afraid because he was such a powerful intellectual that he would engage them in debate. He would stop somebody, engage them in debate. He would take this side of the argument, and he would prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And then he would ask him, "Do you see any holes in my philosophical presentation?" And they would have to admit, "No, we don't see any way that you're wrong." Then he would turn around and say, "Okay, I'm going to argue against my own presentation." And he would do that. And he would defeat the very same premise that he had hammered home and that they accepted as being right. He would defeat it philosophically. And they were totally shocked. How can somebody do that? You see? That's the kind of scholar that he was. So in his youth, he exhibited this scholarly tendencies. But then later on, he started to manifest the purpose, or one of the purposes for which he came, which was to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna. So he organized everybody in that district, the Nadia district, Navadvip area, to come out and chant Hare Krishna. He would tell them to go out and chant Hare Krishna in the streets. But in those days, a little more than 500 years ago, India, for the most part, was being run by the Muslims. And they had a tenuous, peaceful relationship with the Hindus in general. But some of the Hindus were a little bit envious of Nimai because he was becoming very popular as a leader in the Hindu community. So they went to the Qazi and they complained that this boy, he's just out there chanting God's names, which is not something that we condone. It's, we think that you have to only get God's names from the Brahmanas and in private and like that. Anyway, they made some complaints. So the Qazi warned Nimai and his followers not to chant Hare Krishna in the street. Nimai told them to go and chant anyway. So they started breaking the drums, just like, well, this one they can't break. This is made out of fiberglass. The original Indian drum, as you know, Mridang, is made out of clay that's fired in the oven. And first time I went to India in 76, I brought one back, and after 2 weeks it was broken. We were having hot kirtan, I ran into somebody else's drum and boom, it was broken. So Prabhupada said, why are you wasting so much money buying these Indian drums? Use your American intelligence and come up with another alternative. So we did. We came up with this fiberglass shell with plastic heads. The original, as you know, has leather heads. It's a reasonable facsimile. It doesn't sound quite as sweet as the Indian original, but they are practically indestructible. I am convinced that if there's a nuclear war, these things will survive. So that the Harinam can go on. Anyway, so they started breaking the drums, and to make a long story short, Nimai organized the first civil disobedience. They had hundreds of thousands of Hindus descended on the home of the Muslim leader, and he became afraid. So they arranged a meeting, and Nimai chatted with him very philosophically about the differences between... Because one of the arguments of the Qazi was that Nimai accused him that you're a meat eater. That's why you don't understand the names of God. And the Qazi said, yes, we eat meat, but you guys also kill animals in your sacrifice. So Nimai said, no, but that's different. The Vedic sacrifices are construed and constructed in such a way that if they're properly conducted, an old animal is put into the fire and comes out with a rejuvenated new body. But to have that happen, you have to have highly qualified brahmanas who are chanting the mantras precisely. And because there are no such qualified brahmanas today, that practice is forbidden. There are five things that are forbidden in the Kali Yuga because of the lack of the Brahminical culture. Ashvamedha, Gavalambam. So the sacrifice of the horse or the cow into the fire, that's forbidden. Sannyas, also forbidden. Generally speaking, in the Vedic culture, the Kshatriyas, the Brahmanas, the Vaishyas, all three, those three upper classes, they were expected to take sannyas at a certain point in life. But it became, for those who don't know, sannyas means the renounced order of life. There are four stages or ashrams that one naturally goes through, the brahmachari life or your student or student life when you're learning, then the grihastha or married life when you start a family, then the vanaprastha life where you're winding things down, you hand over the family business to the children, and then the wife and husband travel to holy places, and then in the last stage, the man is expected to take sannyas, to leave home and simply dedicate his life to spiritual pursuit. But nowadays, it's practically impossible. So it's in general forbidden. In the Vaishnava community, it is still allowed because generally speaking, the Vaishnavas know the proper way to conduct sannyas ashram. But in general, it's forbidden. And the last one is called Devarena Sutopati. Very something that is eyebrow raising nowadays to think that it even went on. But in highly cultured society, a man was allowed to beget children in his brother's wife's womb if the brother could not produce children. You see? Because they were so highly elevated individuals that there was no passion involved. If the brother could not produce children with the wife, then his brother would do it for him. And then he would take that child as his own. But nowadays, because everybody's in passion and ignorance, that is not allowed. So anyway, so Nimai had a long conversation with the Chan Qazi about spiritual matters. Then he really exploded. He, after his father passed away, he went to Gaya, and he was initiated by Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri gave him the instruction to just chant Krishna's names. So he took that seriously. He's God. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself, as we said in the beginning. But he accepted a guru. So there's no excuse for anyone else. If you're serious about advancing in spiritual life, you must accept a spiritual guide, a guru in other words. So anyway, after going to Gaya and taking initiation, following instructions of his guru, Ishwara Puri, he really took the chanting to the streets, so to speak. And so wherever he went, he would induce people to experience love of God just by the chanting. So is that only possible when Lord Chaitanya is on the planet? No. This chanting of Hare Krishna is the Yuga Dharma. It is the recommended process of this age for... Alright, let me be a little bit more precise. The chanting of the holy names of God is the Yuga Dharma. Now, somebody from another tradition may have some other name of God. Yes, you can chant that. We don't say you must chant Hare Krishna, but this is the mantra that's recommended in our spiritual line. And by chanting the holy names of God, one becomes purified. Cheto, Dharpana, Marjana. We are all eternal living beings. We have nothing to do with this material, bodily life that we're going through right now. Nothing to do with it. And every night we experience that. We put this body down and it's just as if it's dead. The eyes are closed and you go off and you're doing something. You are not there. Generally speaking, by sound or some other disturbance, you come back to the body. And you can experience that. If you're not totally in ignorance, you can experience that every night. That you leave the body and you come back to the body. So leaving the body, coming back to the body on a daily basis, that's called sleep. When you leave the body and you don't come back to the body, that's called death. And we all will have to experience that again. Because for anyone who has taken birth, death is certain, Krishna says. So before death comes again, we are meant to follow a spiritual path that will bring us to the point of self-realization, where we know factually who we are, not dreaming on the basis of this body. Because you may think all day long that you're a doctor, lawyer, a bus driver, whatever, but when you lie down, you forget that identity. You go off and you're doing something. And then when the alarm goes off, you wake up and you again resume that identity. I'm a middle-aged man or I'm a 20-year-old woman or whatever, this is my skin color. No, it's not you. You have nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with that. You see? So, if we don't come to the point of self-realization before we die again, then we're going to die in fear. We're going to die attached to the things that we think belong to us. Actually, tell you a little secret, nothing belongs to us. We're born in this world with nothing and we can't take one iota of it when we leave. You see? But because we're misled, we're in illusion thinking that we're this body, then everything in relationship to the body becomes so important. You know, I'm driving a nice car, but my neighbor has a nicer car, so now I have to work harder to get a nicer car. You see? Waste of human energy. And that attitude is passed down through the generations. It becomes worse. When I used to be in the Potomac Temple, I've told the story, but I never forget. One Indian gentleman came to me after the Sunday feast once, and he said, you know, Prabhu, can I speak to you? I said, okay, sure, sure. Somebody I knew for a while. What's wrong? Oh, it's my son. What's going on? I thought he just got into college and everything is hunky-dory. Yes, he got into college, and as a graduation present from high school, we bought him a car. We bought him a Toyota, and now he's mad because all of his friends drive BMWs. Potomac Temple is in a very wealthy area of Maryland. The boy came home and said, how could you do this to me? The father said, what? What? How could you give me a Corolla? All my friends drive BMWs. This is material life. We become caught up in the externals. If I'm driving a BMW instead of a Corolla, if I wear Armani suits instead of, you know, three-piece suit from some cheap place, then I'm a better person. No, it doesn't make you a better person. It certainly doesn't get you any closer to the goal of life, the ultimate goal of life. It doesn't get you closer to self-realization. So we all have to look into our hearts and see how much we're attached. Knowing, again, if you're a little bit intelligent, that you can't take any of it with you. So you're actually working for the government, because they're going to come to take their share when you leave. Inheritance tax. You don't think you can pass it all on to the offspring scot-free. Government is going to take some chunk of it. So you're working for the government, and you're working for the offspring quite often are, to be frank, you know, not exactly up to snuff. Because generally speaking, what happens, if you have a lot, then the children become spoiled and useless practically. Because they expect everything to be given to them, you see? Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya came to give us this process of chanting Hare Krishna so we can become self-realized, so we can disentangle ourselves from this material entanglement that we're facing. Before death comes again, we can become self-realized soul and really happy. Because material situation does not make us happy anyway. We all know that. It doesn't matter how much you have. If you're a materialist, you want more. You always think that there's something else that's good you can add to the collection that's going to make you a little happier. It never does. It just makes you more concerned that somebody's going to come to take it away. So many people around the world are experiencing that right now, right? One day you're cruising along in Ukraine or whatever, everything seems fine, and the next day bombs start to fall, you have to run away and leave it all. And it's not just in Ukraine, all over the world this happens. The government is so vicious nowadays. It used to be that they would surreptitiously steal your money in the form of high taxes and stuff. But in many countries, they openly come, give it to us. You bought a new car, we want it. Give it to us. Saddam Hussein, before the Americans killed him, drove him out, he and his sons were notorious. They would drive down the street, they would see some woman, pretty woman, and they would just grab her. They don't care whose wife or mother, whomever. I want her, you see? And they were the leaders. So this is Kali Yuga. We're living in the age of Kali, age of quarrel. It's a bad age. And to try to make things nice here is foolish. Qualify yourself to go back to the kingdom of God. That's where everything is nice. It's like moving to the Great White North, North Canada, and trying to turn it into Hawaii. It's not going to happen. You see, you can build a hut and build a fire and fool yourself that everything is okay. But it's still 10 feet of ice outside and snowing. You know, you can't change that. That is the nature of Northern Canada. So to go to Northern Canada and try to turn it into Hawaii is foolish. It's a waste of your human energy. So similarly, to stay in the material world and try to make it a nice place is foolish. It's a waste of your human energy. We want to be happy. It's our birthright. We want to be happy. We want to have beautiful relationships with each other. But the very nature of this place precludes that. It will not happen. And even if you think, well, I got it together. I got a beautiful wife or husband or whatever. Clock is ticking. I don't know if you ever saw that old movie, Black and White, The Pit and the Pendulum. With every swing, the pendulum came closer to the poor guy who was strapped to the table. And finally it came down, finished. So it's like that. Every day the clock is ticking and you're thinking everything is alright, but no, we're going to be reminded that it's not. So, Lord Chaitanya showed that he was God, although in general he did not. He was a covered avatar. But occasionally he would show. He revealed his universal form to Advaita. And eventually he left the Bengal area and Puri area and he decided to go to Vrindavan. And on his way he went past through this Jarikan. By the way, if you look at the ceiling, we have a lot of Chaitanya Leela depicted there. This particular one is here, passing through the Jarikan forest. And because he's God, he couldn't get the wild animals to chant Hare Krishna and dance. So Prabhupada said, don't try to do that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. He can do that. He said, our business is to try to get human beings to chant Hare Krishna. Even that is so difficult, isn't it? Either they get mad at you or they say, I'm good. Well, I always give them Vijay's line, but you could be better. And then when he got to Vrindavan, animals there also, they were exchanging loving feelings because he's God. He speaks everybody's language and he gets along with everyone. So the bottom line is Harinam. Although internally he was concentrating on Radha Krishna, externally he showed us that by practical service, like here is the Lord and his associates cleaning the temple. So no matter how high you are, you can come to the temple of the Lord, clean, cook, do some practical service for the Lord. You'll feel the benefit. You'll experience the benefit. And of course, everyone can go out and chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Lord Brahma, quoting from the Vedas says that these 16 words, Hare Krishna in the mantra, they have the power to smash Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. They can smash the grip of Kali. What is the grip of Kali? The grip of Kali is that everyone in this age is induced, practically forced to commit sinful activities. Eat meat, gamble, illicit sex, intoxication. It's the norm in Kali Yuga. In previous ages, it was frowned upon. I mean, I'm 62. When I was a child, it was frowned upon to be a drunk, to drink. At least in the community that I grew up in. But nowadays, it's like everybody's expected to do that. You must have some wine with your meal. You must. And if you don't, people look at you like you're weird. Right? So I'd rather be weird and sober than normal and drunk like you, my dear friend. Because we're already intoxicated with this body. And to add intoxication on top of that, it's like, you know, drinking and driving. You're going to have an accident for sure. So the Harinam is the way to get out of illusion. And I wanted to, we're running out of time, I wanted to end with this verse. This is from the, this is the first text of the 14th chapter of the Adi Lila. And as you can see, it says that things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult to do. You see, to this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer our respectful obeisances. So everybody please, bow down to Lord Chaitanya, chant the holy names, and be happy. Hare Krishna.